take your Bibles and open them to Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning in verse 20. If you're willing and able, would you please stand as we read our sermon text? Hebrews 13, verse 20. Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Heavenly Father, may the words of this prayer in Hebrews become the words of our prayer, the prayer of our heart. May you transform us by your grace. May you turn us into a people of peace. As we hear your word and surrender to your spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Easter is about new life, new beginning, new covenant. Easter is about the undoing of all that has gone wrong, and the making of everything right. This is because our God is the God of peace. When we think of peace, we often think of the cessation of hostilities, the termination of a conflict. But when the Bible talks about peace, it means more than just simply not fighting with someone. It carries with it the idea of wholeness, completeness, that everything is as it should be. The only way that life and the world and your heart will be at peace is if God makes it happen. This is because we're all broken. We are all fractured and shattered into 10,000 pieces. And we all have jagged edges and we bump up against each other and we hurt each other and we wound each other. Even when we don't try to do that, it happens. We live in a broken world full of heartache and pain and sorrow. We've been talking on Wednesday evenings in our table talk gatherings about how to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ with other people. And Wednesday, after our time together, Bonnie came up to me and she said, I've got this friend who's just so angry and bitter at God. This friend does not want to hear anything. This friend has had so much hurt. What do I do? Bonnie's friend isn't alone. I bet you know someone like that. Maybe you're here this morning, and if you were really honest, you feel that way too. If God's the God of peace who's supposed to make everything better, why is there still so much pain? Why is there still so much brokenness? This morning as I got up and praying and reading scripture and preparing my heart to come and be with you and share God's word, I did what I shouldn't have done, and that's I looked at the news. You ever do that? Man, what a way to start a day, right? Looking at the news. The first headline told of these horrific attacks in Sri Lanka, where over 200 people have been died in attacks against churches and hotels on Easter. The next headline was about riots in Paris over wage inequality. And then you can keep scrolling down and you can keep seeing headlines about wars in Afghanistan and Middle East. And then there are all those things that never make the news. Broken families and silent suffering. If God is the God of peace, why don't we experience more peace? Is God going to do anything to fix all this brokenness around us and in us? The reason that Easter is such a big deal to us is because it answers this question. Easter tells us that He has done something, He is doing something, and He will complete what He has started. That's what this prayer is all about in Hebrews chapter 13. It tells us what God, the God of peace, has done. What has He done? He has raised Jesus from the dead. You see this in verse 20. Now, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, the shepherd, the great shepherd of the sheep. This phrase, blood of the eternal covenant, reminds us that before creation, before anything existed, there was only God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, existing in eternity in perfect delight and joy. And God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, covenanted together to create as an overflow of the joy that they had in one another. And so God created all that is. But because God is infinitely wise and all-knowing, He knew that we would turn away from Him. And so before even God created, He established His promise that He would fix all that was wrong. He established this eternal covenant in His glory and in His delight. You see, we look at the world and we know that it's broken, and it's broken because of sin. It's broken because you and I have turned away from God, the giver of life, the Lord of glory, the source of all life. When you turn away from God, you embrace destruction and darkness and pain. And it's not just you, it's all of us, and it's everywhere. And God could have said, I'm not going to mess with that. I've had lots of projects I've messed with in my life where I get to the point where I say, well, that goes in the garbage. Let's start over. But God didn't do that. And no matter how messed up we are, God doesn't give up on anyone here. No matter what pain, no matter what sorrow, no matter what grief, God continues to love and care because you are very special to God. He made you. And He loves you. And so God made a promise to Himself before the sun existed, before the world existed, before you were ever born, to do a work in your life to redeem you and restore you, even though you would turn away from Him. What was that plan? Well, it culminates in bringing back from the dead our Lord Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into this world 2,000 years ago. And He walked the dusty roads, and He rubbed elbows with a grumpy and discontent people. And He fed the hungry, He healed the blind, He raised the lame so they could walk again. And He preached good news, and He was crucified for it. He was nailed to a cross, not for anything that He had done, but because of our sin. And on the third day, He rose from the dead. He broke the bonds of sin and death. He broke the heart of everything that was wrong and healed everything that's right. And that's what makes Him the great shepherd of the sheep. He's the one who saves His people and keeps them. And so when we put our faith and trust in Him, there's nothing that takes us away from Him. He keeps us forever. He shepherds and leads and guides us. Romans 5:1 says, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Is God doing anything to fix this broken world? Yes, He sent Jesus to be our Savior. And He begins not way out there, but He begins right here in your heart and in my heart when we trust in Him. But it's not just what God has done, it's what He is doing. Consider what the God of peace is doing. He is equipping us for good works. Verse 21, this God of peace equips us, equips you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him. This word equip means to restore things, to put things in order. In the Bible times, it was used to describe fixing fishing nets that had been ripped and torn and there were holes in it and couldn't catch any fish with all those holes in. Some of you can't catch any fish anyway, but that's another story, Ron. It's equipping means to set things right. For doctors, it's setting a broken bone so that it mends as it ought to. It's filling in something that's lacking. God comes into our lives and He starts to fill in those gaps. I had to yet once again confess to my son, I'm sorry, your dad's really impatient because I'm just really selfish. I'm so glad He is still working on me. I'm so glad that God is still working in my life because I have so many gaps, but He's equipping me. He is filling in those gaps through His Son and His Spirit at work in my life. And He's doing that in your life too. He's filling in those gaps, those holes where there is no peace, there is no wholeness, and there is no completeness. He's fixing us. And as He fixes us, He sends us out to do the good things that we need to do. We go out and we share His love, His hope, His peace with others. As we surrender our lives to Him, Christ's resurrection power works in us so that we do the good works that please God and bless others. God makes us the agents of His peace. We pursue holiness in His lives and we seek to bless and help and lead others to Christ, who is their peace. I love this prayer from St. Francis. Lord, make me an instrument of Your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Let that be me. Let that be you. Let that be us, church, as we go into a broken world desperate for peace and point them to the One who is their peace. Let that be us. How can we sow peace, love, pardon, faith, hope, light, and joy? Only through Christ. Only as He works in us and we surrender our lives to Him. Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Are you a peacemaker today? Christian, are you loving your neighbor and loving your enemies and blessing those who curse you and revile you and spitefully use you? That's how you and I sow peace and show the love of God in the world. Are you telling other people about Christ who died on the cross for their sins and was buried and rose that they might have eternal life, new life, the abundant life? Well, finally, consider what God will do, what the God of peace will do. He will glorify Himself throughout all creation. The latter part of verse 21. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. In Colossians 1:19 and 20, we read this, for God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Jesus Christ, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, making peace through His blood shed on the cross. God is bringing all things back into place, fixing things, restoring the broken, renewing the dead, reviving the lost. John Lynn explains it this way. Our solar system exists harmoniously when all the planets orbit the same center, the sun. If, however, the planets decide on their own what to orbit, or if some of the planets chose not to orbit anything, what would happen? Death and disintegration. The solar system, as we know it, would unravel and fall apart because the planets would not be orbiting the correct center. They wouldn't be living in reference to the sun, and therefore everything would fall apart and be destroyed. Not living in reference to God not only leads to our personal death and disintegration, it's the reason why the entire cosmos is subject to death and disintegration. God created Adam and Eve to be the centerpiece and the pinnacle of creation. When they sinned, their disobedience to God's loving law not only had implications for their lives, it also had implications for the entire cosmos. Just like our planet has to revolve around the sun for life to continue, our lives must revolve around the Son of God, in order for us to have life. And when they don't, it's death and disintegration. Through Christ, God is setting everything right, and in the end, it will all be right, and it's to His glory. It's God's glory that we need. It's for God to be the center, and for all people to honor and glorify Him. As we do, that's when we experience the peace that God has for us. The Bible tells us that one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of the Father. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. In the Bible, the word saved means not just rescued from hell, but it means to have the life that God intended for you to have. Eternal life. The blessed life. So how do we respond? This prayer in Hebrews 13 ends with the word that's very familiar to us. Amen. The word amen is a word of agreement. It means yes, means I surrender. It's a pledge of allegiance to the Lord. This morning I'm asking you to say amen. I'm asking you to say, yes, Lord, I give my life to You. I surrender my life to You. I put You in the center. I want You to fill in all the holes. I want You to restore and renew and remake me. And I want You to send me out so I can be the agent of Your peace in this broken world. So I can help other people know that You are God. You are Savior. You are Lord. You are all our hope and joy and peace. Are you saying amen this morning? These verses are a prayer. This morning I ask you to praise God for what He has done in Christ to bring us peace through the resurrection. And if you've not believed, if you've not put your trust in Jesus, would you do that today? Would you do that even right now? Pray that God will work in your life to be His agent of peace by proclaiming the hope of the resurrection in the world. And prepare for the fulfillment of the resurrection when all things are made new. Dear friends, have faith, have hope, trust in the Lord. Christ is risen. And just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. Let us pray. Thank You, Father, for the resurrection of Your Son that gives us our life and our hope and our peace. I pray that everyone here has trusted in Christ, confessed Him as Lord, and believed the resurrection. And as we do, may we go out proclaiming this hope to broken and hurting people, sharing Your love, extending to them the peace that only You bring by helping them come to know Jesus as their Savior. We pray that You would glorify Your name, that You would add to Your church, that You would save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.